Well, let's pray together, and then we'll just have a little thought tonight. Father in heaven, thank you today for the testimonies we've been able to hear from the body of Christ as they go out into the community and as they actually are actively serving. And this is one of the keys for a close relationship with you. It's not self-focused, but it's focused on what you would have us do for others. So thank you for the blessing you've given to those who attended, and may those who were not able to attend next week to receive the blessing as well, in Christ's name. Amen. By the way, leaders, look around this room. The people that are here are the leaders of the Institute. Because the midweek service is as the pulse is to the body. As the pulse is to the what? And, I've been a pastor a long time. And in my church in Wichita, Kansas, my head elder was Dr. Mills, who's the chairman of the board here. I can't remember a time he missed prayer meeting. I can't remember a time that my elders missed prayer meeting. I can't remember it. They came to every prayer meeting, and we would normally have, at least half the church there on prayer meeting. And this was kind of like a litmus test of leadership. They actually took those quotes seriously, and the church really grew. It grew exponentially. And they also loved the Sabbath so much they would come to Vespers, and so would a lot of people from the community. And that was the corporate services. And then in that church, elders always hosted also a small group Bible study in their homes on another day of the week. And I would rotate every night. I was out every night in an elder's home if they needed help, holding a small group Bible study to show them how to do that every single night. The only night I was not out was Friday night. That's the only night. I just want to tell you that the corporate services of the church are meant to be a meeting place where you come back from your private ministry, which is not just your own personal devotions out in the middle of the woods. It is connected with those devotions with someone in the community. How many understand what I'm saying? Never is disconnected. Never is disconnected. So this weekend, our corporate services are focused on something a number of you have talked to me about, and that is they're focused on foot washing this week and the communion service. And a number of you have said to me, it's been a long time since we had communion service. How many of you feel like it's time to have a communion service? So quite a number of you are raising your hands, and I certainly need a communion service because I'm not a saint. Look at that person next to you and just say boldly to them, "You are not a saint." You're not. So, you're not a saint. So maybe this comes as a shock to the person next to you. They're not a saint. But I want to read you something about this. I want to read you something about this foot washing service. I want you to read something about this. Listen to this. Listen to this. This lady's name was Carol. And Carol worked with a large homeless shelter in Washington, D.C. She worked with addicts, mental health patients. Many of the people were violent. Many of them had AIDS. Many of them had tuberculosis. And none of them were really safe to live with. And whenever she went into this situation, she literally was wondering, what might happen to her. But then she discovered something. Do you want to know what she discovered? This is what she discovered. She says, "Every time I washed their feet, a strange thing would happen. Would you like to know what would happen? There would be a temporary positive mental health effect. No matter how deluded the patients were, when their feet were cared for in warm water, are the deacons here? Warm water. Where are the deacons? Warm water. They were coherent. No matter how violent they were physically or verbally, they became visibly relaxed. And so I started foot care on every patient's arrival at the shelter. Simultaneously, I would ask questions, the name and address, their medical history, and they were so calm. So I asked a psychiatric clinician, what do you think's happening? And they said, you're meeting a need for nurturing. And then I asked a visiting medical team, and they said, no, this is not just a need for, this is supernatural. Something is happening here that we just don't understand. So, in this article, interesting, it says this. Jesus used neutral temperature, partial immersion baths with ablution to both relax and mildly stimulate his disciples and to deepen their breathing. This helped them refocus their attention from themselves to his important message. How do you think that's kind of interesting? Very interesting. It's like a heavenly hydro treatment. Now, in the ancient Greco-Roman world, many times when you entered a holy site, according to Homer and Strabo, you had to wash your feet before you went into the temple. Flavius Pictor, 3rd century, said that Roman priests participated in ritual foot washing. And there was a saying in that day, don't rush into matters with unwashed feet. In other words, slow down. Wash one another's feet. Calm down. Allow your mind to focus. Very fascinating. Now, this was also almost exclusively the duty of slaves or servants. The servants would draw the water, the servants would wash the feet, the servants would empty the water. Foot washing then essentially was a synonym for slavery. So this is what Jesus did. He acted like a slave. He acted like the lowest on the totem pole. Normally, when people came from the synagogue for Passover, the father would walk into the home and his family members would wash, or the servants would wash his hands. And then every family member had their feet washed by a common servant. That was at the time of Passover when Jesus was having this foot washing. And what he did was he essentially didn't have anybody wash his hands. Within 24 hours, they would have nails through his hands. He didn't have anybody wash his feet. And within 24 hours, they'd have nails through his feet. But instead, he washed the feet of the disciples. And this is why Peter so strongly reacted. What are you doing? You can't wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you can't be my disciple. So the foot washing is meant for what? A time of self-examination. A time of repentance, of changing of the mind. A time of confession. And the Master ordained the foot washing service to signify renewed cleansing and to express willingness to serve one another in a Christ-like humility, and to unite hearts in love. And the communion service was open to all believers, all believing Christians. How many think we need this kind of service here? I think it might be good. How many think it might be well for us between now, Wednesday night, and Sabbath morning when we have this service to have thought that through? You might have somebody that you need to wash their feet that you have wronged. Or you may have wronged someone they don't even know about it and you might want to go and tell them. And just clear things up. And I'm sure since we haven't had communion for quite some time that there are many areas of our lives that we think we might need a reboot. Amen? So I want to encourage us this week to focus in, you know, on this foot washing. And in John chapter 13, it shows that Jesus knew that his hour was come and he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. In other words, this foot washing was the ultimate expression of love at the very end. Supper being ended, the devil having already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, they had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper. Normally they washed the feet before, but this is after. He poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So this service was a powerful acted service. It's not something you can do on Zoom. It's not something you can do without coming actually in contact with someone else. And this is exactly the opposite of the idea you just do everything on your own for your own little personal relationship with Jesus. This strikes at the root of that and says, no, you come together in community with the body of Christ. When you're with the body of Christ, this is the ultimate personal and corporate relationship with Christ at the same time. And it in fact is, you know, in the Bible it says that the marriage is supposed to be a symbol of the body of Christ. So a person is married when they come together in that one flesh moment when they're married. The two shall become one flesh. I don't need to explain that to you, I hope. But this is the most intimate connection a husband and wife can have. Can you say hallelujah? But the foot washing is also a one flesh moment. Did you realize that? You're touching someone else's what? You're touching someone else's feet. And you're coming together as the body of Christ in one of the most intimate ways you can with one another. Does it make sense? This is why we don't have ladies wash men's feet or the opposite. We have the men on one side, we have the ladies on the other, right? Because that is an intimate situation. Sometimes we have couple communes. I'm not a big fan of that. And just because you should be taking care of things right along as couples, amen? But, you know, you should be hopefully to the place where you could actually, as a Christian family, minister to others. This is a novel idea. Maybe it's not just about you and your family. And by the way, as I was looking at personal relationship and personal relationship with Christ throughout Ellen White's writings, there's very scant, in fact, almost no references to that. But what she does say is that your family can become self-focused and you forget the function of your family, which is actually to minister to other people. So I think this foot washing is much needed by me. How many of you have ever noticed that I make mistakes? How many of you have ever seen me make a mistake, right? This is what happens when you become a, you know, public minister. In the multitudes of words, sin is not lacking, the Bible says. So you can make mistakes, unless you're Jesus. And none of the leaders here are Jesus. That doesn't mean they don't want to be like Jesus, but you understand what I'm saying? So we need this service. Do we need it or don't we? And this is some of the reasons that we need it. And I want you to just consider that tonight as we leave this place. To, you know, it says in 1 Corinthians 11, let a man examine himself to see if he's in the faith. Spend some time on personal reflection, but that personal reflection is not just for you. It's meant to see if there's a disconnection between you and God and others. It's not just meant, your personal devotions are not just meant for you. In fact, they have very little to do with you. I've noticed that my personal devotions always are used to reach someone else throughout the day. Always used for that, right? Always. They're always used corporately. Don't try and separate them. Don't just say, did you have your private devotions today? It's really an unbiblical question. It really is, because it separates you from others. So don't do that. Have you had a connection with God today that prepares you to connect with others? Maybe that's better. Does that make sense? Don't become American. Become Christian. Don't become self-focused. Become other-focused. Your personal devotions are not even yours. They're God's as much as yours. Right? So, in the communion service, these things come together. I think it's why it's so essential. Anyway, let's pray for one another that we can prepare our hearts for this act of servitude to one another. These partial immersion baths that are with warm water are most effective. Warm water. My deacon is cringing. Warm water, Tom. Warm water is the best. And not with gloves. Please do not show up and wash each other's feet with gloves. Please don't do that. This is not something in the New Testament. Amen? If you think you have COVID-20, COVID-30, whatever you have, then don't come. Right? If you feel like you're well and able, then come. And we don't want this to turn into some kind of laboratory experiment with gowns and gloves and social distancing, washing someone's feet 6 feet away. No, we're not doing that. That does not work. How many of you had someone that's coming to treat you and they're kind of like this? Does it make you feel good? Jesus came down into humanity in the midst of sinful human flesh in the likeness, rather, Romans says in 8:3, Romans 8:3, in the likeness of sinful human flesh, and he entered into humanity, and he actually became sin for us. So take it away. He became sin. You could say he became COVID-19. And he died. He died. So we want to be safe, but we also want to have a communion service. How many want to have a communion service? Amen. That's a real communion service. So that's what we're going to do this weekend. And I know the Lord's going to bless it. And I want to apologize to my sister. I didn't mean to call you out in that way. That would make you feel bad. And so I said something very clumsy. And would you forgive me for that? So communion has begun, folks. We just had the washing of the water of the Word. We shared words with each other. And those are cleansing words. How many want to have more cleansing words? And how many want to have a real communion service? Well, let's pray together. And let's all kneel together. Father in heaven, thank you tonight for the opportunity we have to come and confess our erring, sinful mortals. And as it says in Patriarchs and Prophets, that people look on sometimes at leaders, the human element is painfully distinct. Ouch! We see when others make mistakes, and we kind of cringe. And when they see us make mistakes, they also say, ouch. And sometimes these things can build up, and then they cause anger, bitterness, resentments, frustrations. And we don't want that to continue if it's continuing, and we want to avoid or prevent it if we can. Thank you for giving us this one flesh service in the body of Christ where we can literally come together and act out that one flesh service of the communion service, this intimate connection with one another, standing as it were in your place. If you've done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. I sense your presence already as we're thinking about preparing for it. But deepen it. Deepen our confession to you and to others. And deepen our repentance, our changing of mind. And bring revival in our lives. Not selfishly for our own personal holier-than-thou attitude, but that we might be connected to the vine and to the other branches. And so we thank you, and we ask that you go with us as we prepare for this total cleansing involvement, this TCI, this Sabbath. May it just be a high Sabbath for us. We pray for those who are not here. Help us be an encouragement to them that they could be connected next week with the pulse of the body. And help us not to be demeaning in our entreaties, but encouraging and expressing of blessings that we would have loved to share together with those who are missing. And we thank you. We come in Christ's name, who taught us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thine is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.